the rebuilding of Babylon,
Donald Trump.
The rebuilding of Babylon,
Donald Trump.
Am I the only one that sees this? I am not. Let me ask you this morning, this fine Tuesday morning, as we begin another edition of the Revelation series, and we're in the home stretch, let me ask you this. Who better to rebuild, keyword there's build, Babylon, than the greatest builder of our era, Donald Trump? Now, I want to share with you an email I got from a friend. I'm not going to mention the name of this writer. This writer says this: thank you for your excellent series on the unveiling. Well, first, the writer says, dear Martin, appreciate that part. Thank you for your excellent series on the unveiling. Certainly, certainly. Mr. Trump loves to make deals, is not afraid of flirting with or laughing at bankruptcy. He will go for broke, and he will then also use the apostate Jews to bankroll the West's stomping of ISIS and other religious opposition. Mr. Trump will then have the power and influence to unleash spiritual and political forces backed by a religiously media-inspired, propagandized, self-righteous military against all who oppose him. Eventually, he, or one like unto him, shall make the one decision that he and nine other kings can agree on: turn on and kill the Jews. In the meantime, he can amuse himself by playing with terrestrial Lego blocks and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and the city of Babylon. The latter may well occur after we are snatched away. The deception will then have become total. All we have to do is stay away from the clutches of Black Lives Matter and the hysterical feminists. By the way, I think that's a redundancy, hysterical feminists. As for apostate Christians, well, unlike the Galatians who had received Paul's teaching, the vast majority of them, that is the apostate Christians, have never heard Paul's message. Paul had to rip the Galatians a new one. We don't have to despise these ones who were born into apostasy, just despise their confused teaching and be grateful that we have been called out. Let's raise our families, be true to our callings, keep heralding my brother, and hand out or recommend as many copies of The First Idiot in Heaven as we can. I agree with that. I could be wrong on many counts, says the writer of this email. I am not prophesying, just saying. Grace, peace, boldness, and wisdom to you, my friend. What a great email. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could be. Another friend of mine I talked to on the phone the other day said, you know, how many of these deceptions can go on? I mean, how many cycles of a deception can we run through? There comes a time when the last deception is at hand. The last president is at hand. The last kings are in place. The scenario is here. And I totally got this from her. And I said to her, I said, you know, it's like the Beatles. The Beatles will never be repeated. Nothing like that will ever happen again, because it was the perfect time for that phenomenon, as there was this great social upheaval. And there have been great musical bands, but that phenomenon's never been repeated. So it's a time for the last of everything, the last president, the last king, the last cycle of deception. Back to the unveiling. I'm going to read now. I'm in chapter 18. I'm blowing through this. I'm going to try to anyway, because as you know, I'm looking forward to getting to chapter 19, which begins all the good stuff, the good things that God is going to rebuild. Now, God is the ultimate builder. Listen, I know Trump is all about money. I know he's all about fame. I know he's all about, you know, putting up buildings. And all these buildings are going to fall, but they look pretty good in the meantime. And I know that these things must occur. And I know that as they occur, the world will experience a period of peace and prosperity. And who doesn't look forward to that? Who doesn't want it? Sure, like I said, we can have it all. We can have the peace and prosperity, and we can have the building of the true New World Order, the new World Order. And We can look forward to being snatched away before the worst of these things occurs. I'm in verse 6 now of the Unveiling 18. Pay her, that is, pay Babylon. Let me start with verse 4 again. I can't get enough of this. And I hear another voice out of heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you should be joint participants in her sins, and lest you should be getting of her calamities. For her sins were piled up to heaven, and God remembers her injuries. That is, God remembers the injuries she has done to others. And at that point, at that time, the call will go forth from heaven with a loud voice, come out of her, my people. Now, I have said this to you for years. I've been a voice in the wilderness, as have others, saying, come out of her. I'm not saying come out of Babylon specifically. This is a specific call for a specific people living in a specific city at a specific time. So I am taking this out of context. I'm taking a liberty here and saying to you that I have told people to come out of the religious system. Many people equate Babylon with religious systems. They see it as an analogy. Okay, I can make the comparison. The problem with people who do this is that they do this and they get rid of the literal. They take an application from it, as I'm doing. The application I'm taking is that I have asked people to come out of the religious institutions, not Babylon specifically. But I have not, in the process of doing that, I have not destroyed the literal here in Revelation 18, that there will be a literal city Babylon, that a literal messenger in heaven will be crying out with a literal voice to the people living in that city, get out of her. Now, verse 6, pay her as she also pays, and double the doubles. This is outrageously unique scriptural language where two words are repeated, or a word is repeated in the same breath here. And double the doubles. That is, this tells you how upset and how angry God is at all the religious apostasy and the melding of religion and politics over the world, of how and of Christians trying to take earthly power, assuming that this is the realm of their reign, but it's not. Pay double the doubles in accord with their acts. Double the doubles. It's just such unique language here. In her cup in which she blends, blend double for her. What is her cup? Her cup is the intoxicant of Babylon. And the intoxicant has been this noise that we hear of entertainment and music. And it's like double it to her. Like whatever angst and anxiety and trauma, all this noise has occurred. Just turn it on her. Only crank up the volume 10 times until it blows up her head. It blows up her head. It's too much of a good thing, right? Too much. What was that line in the Eagles? Life in the Fast Lane. Everything, all the time. Everything, all the time is very dangerous. Some of the things, some of the time. That's what you want. You want some of the things? Yes, some of the time. But everything, all the time. That's life in the fast lane. No, everything, all the time is going to be doubled to Babylon. And she's going to blow up because too much of a good thing, even a good thing, is destructive. So pay her double in her cup in which she blends, blend double for her. So her blend made the world intoxicated. All right, double the intoxicant, double the amount of alcohol. We're talking 150 proof here. Let's go 200 proof, 100% alcohol, and give it to her. And she's going to reel like a drunk woman, fall down, and die. As much as she glorifies herself and indulges, so much torment and mourning be giving her. And torment and mourning come on the heels of pursuing these things night and day. Paul says that the love of money is the root of all evils. Not money, the love of money, the chasing of money, the wanting to have money. It's a desire to glorify oneself in the world. And this is going to be turned back to her, and it's going to result to Babylon, to the world, in the form of torment and mourning. For she is saying in her heart, this is what Babylon says in her heart, this is what the world's religions say in their heart, quote, I am sitting a queen, and am no widow, and mourning I may by no means see. Listen to that. What pride, what arrogance. I am sitting a queen. I'm a queen. Nobody can touch me. I am not a widow. No, I will always be married to my pleasures, married to my wealth, married to the kingdoms that I have built. Nothing's going to stop this. I'm invincible. I can't be toppled. I'm protected by the media. I'm protected by the people. I have my moat with the alligators in it. I have my army. I have 10 walls of protection. It's all going to be stripped away. It's easy for God to do. And the only reason that the falsehood is protected as well as it is today is because God deems it to be so. When you see how easy it is for God to shake the world, to send an earthquake, to topple the cities, you realize that the miracle is not that these cities aren't toppling now. The miracle is that they're still surviving. The miracle is that evil is still perpetuating itself, is still building, is still growing. Because evil self-destructs, it's a miracle that God keeps it around. I've been told that evil is proof that there is no God, or evil is, it's just the presence of evil in the world. People cannot equate that with a God. They don't believe the simple statement in Isaiah 45:7, God saying, I create good and evil. They don't see that evil is a foil without which you can't have a display of good. So these people have said to me, evil is proof there is no God. No, no, I say to you, evil is proof that there is a God, because evil is so self-destructive. Remember, it's going to be turned back on Babylon. The same cup that she has used to pour evil on everybody else is going to be turned back to her. So it's self-destructive, evil is. And the more it goes on, the more of a miracle it is that it doesn't just blow up of its own accord, blow up according to its own constitution. Because it's evil. So the very presence of evil is proof there is a God, because it takes a supernatural force to keep evil intact, to keep it from eating itself, because it's a virus, it's a cancer. What does a cancer do? It just gets eating itself like Pac-Man. Just insidious, self-destructive. It has within it the germ of self-destruction. How can it sustain itself? That's proof that there is a God, because he wants it sustained until it's time for it not to be sustained. I'm sitting as a queen. I'm not a widow. Oh, you people have no idea that God is propping you up. And if it weren't for God propping you up, you would have been destroyed by your own vices by now. It's a miracle that you keep going. Otherwise, it's impossible. So it's total deception. It's a self-deception. People want to believe that, I'm impenetrable. I'm a queen. I sit as a queen upon many waters. Nothing shall touch me. I have borders and walls and to protect me. But no. These things that protect you are on loan to you from God, and God's going to take them away. And the day he takes them away, you're going to topple. Here it comes. Therefore, in one day, I'm in verse 8 of Revelation 18. Therefore, in one day shall her calamities be arriving, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be burned up with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Strong is the Lord God who judges her. In one day. That's how easy it is. That's why I'm saying it's easy for God to do all this stuff. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 66, the prophecy comes, shall a nation be born in one day? And it's true. The nation Israel will come out of the ashes and be born again in one day. Jesus reminded Nicodemus of this saying, you're a teacher in Israel, you don't know this. It's the born again thing. The born again thing is not a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there. It's the national rebirth of Israel. It's the rebirth of a nation. And it doesn't happen. I keep saying this in this series. I will continue to do it. It doesn't happen by a slow process of reformation, of education, of application of one's will, of one's resources. No, it happens suddenly. Same with the destruction. It happens suddenly. All God has to do is pull out his protective hedge and boom, you're done. All God has to do with Israel is just pop in the belief chip. Pop in the chip. You know, you put a little chip on the side of your computer and bang, you instantly get all your pictures show up. But it's just a little chip. So God puts the chip of belief in the nations, and they believe in one day. Oh, how can this happen in one day? How can it not happen in one day? How does Israel continue to be stubborn for 2,000 years up to this day when she has the scriptures, when she has all the evidence? Go back to the first century. Forget the scriptures. She had Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself, in her midst. How could she not believe? It's a freaking miracle. So unbelief is a miracle because people are surrounded by evidence. Atheists are a miracle. How can a person look at creation and not believe in God? It's a freaking miracle that they're not believers. God hasn't inserted the chip yet. How can evil continue on and continue on? It can't, folks, but God's keeping it together by a miracle. So God will soon perform a dual miracle. He will pull out the rug from evil and it will self-destruct in a day, and he will insert the faith chip into Israel, and Israel will become a nation in a day. Oh, God's quick. God's fast. You know what else he's going to do? Not in a day, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, he's going to change our mortal bodies into immortal bodies. Ho, ho. That's going to happen in a moment. In an atomos, which is the smallest period of time possible. And that's how quick God is. So you can mourn, you can complain. I understand. I do it too about your bodies. And how long is this going to go on? How long is this going to go on? Well, hang on, folks, because the change is going to happen in a snap.